Okay, so get this. We're gonna dive into this legal battle. And it's basically like Rumble in the Jungle, but for free speech. On one side, you got Rumble, right? And they're the video platform, you know, like the Wild West of opinions, anything goes.
Right.
And then on the other side, you got the state of California coming in, swinging with these new laws that Rumble saying are a knockout punch, right, to the First Amendment.
Yeah, what's so fascinating about all this is that it's not even just about like one platform, right? Or even just one state. It's really about like how are we going to govern speech online, you know, like in the age of deep fakes and AI and all this stuff. It's like a global issue. And the outcome of this case could like have ripple effects way beyond just California.
Okay, so back up a sec. Deep fakes. For those of us who haven't gone full like sci-fi nerd yet, what are they exactly and why are they such a big deal?
Well, think of it like this. Imagine a video, right? But it's so real. It can make anyone appear to say or do anything.
Oh, wow.
That's a deep fake. The technology's gotten so good, it's becoming harder and harder to tell what's real and what's, you know, like completely made up.
Oh, wow.
And that's where the danger is, especially when it comes to elections.
Whoa. Okay, that's kind of terrifying. So, California is basically trying to like stop politicians from getting like digitally smeared right before an election.
Exactly. They've passed these two laws, AB 2655 and AB 2839, and they're aimed at like curbing the spread of these deceptive videos, audio, all that. AB 2655, it's also known as the Defending Democracy from Deepfake Deception Act of 2024, focuses specifically on deepfakes. And basically what it says is that these big online platforms, they have to either block or slap a warning label on anything that's a materially deceptive during those crucial, like, you know, periods leading up to an election.
So it's like a buyer beware sticker, basically, for potentially fake political content.
I got it. Then there's AB 2839, which takes a broader approach and it covers any deceptive audio or visual media related to political candidates, again, within specific time frames around elections. And this one mandates that platforms have to make it like crystal clear if something is satire or parody.
Okay, that makes sense. So they don't want people sharing a hilarious but fake video of a candidate doing something ridiculous and then everyone thinks it's real.
Right. The goal is to prevent misinformation, like disguised as humor or commentary. But here's where things get interesting. Rumble is fighting back hard, saying these laws are way too broad, and basically saying that these laws turn them into like the speech police.
Hold on, isn't it like their job to make sure their platform isn't used to spread harmful lies? I mean, wouldn't we all be better off if they just like took down obviously fake stuff?
It's a fair point. And it's, you know, a question a lot of people are wrestling with right now. But Rumble's argument is that it's not their place to decide what's true or false, especially when it comes to political speech. They're saying it's a slippery slope. Like today it's deep fakes, but tomorrow, who knows what the government will deem deceptive.
They're basically saying, don't make us the Ministry of Truth. Because once you start censoring stuff, where do you even like draw the line?
That's the core of their argument. They've even filed a lawsuit, and it's backed by the Alliance Defending Freedom. And they're claiming these laws violate the First Amendment, which, you know, guarantees freedom of speech in the U.S.
And they've got some pretty strong words about it, too. Their CEO, Chris Pavlovsky, said something like, "The very thought of the government judging the content of political speech is about the most chilling thing you could imagine."
And Phil Seckler, senior counsel for the Alliance of Defending Freedom, called it censorship, plain and simple. They're arguing that if the government gets to decide, like, what is acceptable speech online, it can totally chill free expression and lead to a situation where only certain viewpoints are allowed.
So it's like a digital version of book burning, except instead of flames, we've got algorithms deciding what we can and can't see.
That's a good analogy. And Rumble's not even just like concerned about the big picture. They're also worried about the practicalities of, like, how do you even comply with these laws? They're saying it'd be a logistical nightmare to monitor and evaluate, like, the mountains of user-generated content they get every single day.
Yeah, that makes sense. Imagine having to check every video and audio clip for potential deceptiveness. Talk about a headache.
And it's not as easy as it sounds. One person's satire is another person's, like, dangerous lie. And Rumble argues that this vagueness in the language of the laws, you know, like reasonably likely to harm, it's a real problem.
Because what's reasonably likely to one person might seem totally harmless to another. So it's like, who gets to decide?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Rumble is worried that vagueness could lead to like arbitrary enforcement, where decisions about what to take down are based on like personal biases or political agendas rather than clear guidelines.
Right.
And that could have a chilling effect on free speech, right?
Yeah.
Makes people afraid to post anything remotely controversial.
Okay, so we've got California trying to protect elections from deepfakes and Rumble saying, hold up, you're stepping on our freedom of speech.
Right.
So this concern about like manipulating political content, has something like this happened before?
Yeah, you're actually right on the money with that. This whole saga arguably started when Governor Newsom like publicly slammed a parody video of then presidential candidate Kamala Harris.
Oh, wow.
And even called for a law to make such manipulated content illegal.
So this case is about way more than just deepfakes. It's about like the whole power dynamic between platforms, the government, and us, the users.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And add another layer, there's a precedent that could play a big role here. Remember the Babylon Bee?
Wait, the satirical website?
Yeah.
What do they have to do with this?
Well, they actually sued California over AB 2839, claiming it violated their First Amendment rights.
Then they won.
It didn't go to a full trial. But a federal court found that the law likely violated the First Amendment.
Wow.
So California backed down and admitted they couldn't enforce it against the Babylon Bee.
So this isn't just some, like, hypothetical legal argument. There's a real chance California could lose this whole thing.
Absolutely.
Wow.
The Babylon Bee case sets a precedent that Rumble's lawyers will definitely be using to their advantage.
Right.
It suggests that courts are, like, skeptical of laws that give the government too much power to regulate online speech.
This is getting juicy. We've got a legal showdown, big questions about free speech in the digital age, and a precedent that could throw a real wrench in California's plans.
Right.
So what happens next? What are, like, the potential outcomes here, and why should we care?
Well, before we, like, get too carried away celebrating a Rumble victory here, it's important to remember that California has some pretty strong arguments, too. They're not saying, let's ban all opinions we don't like.
Right.
Their goal is to protect voters and make sure elections aren't decided by a bunch of deep fakes and other misleading content.
Yeah, I get that. No one wants to see democracy go down in flames because someone cooked up a fake video of a candidate doing something scandalous, right?
Exactly. And California's argument is that in this like digital age where misinformation spreads like wildfire,
right,
we need some safeguards in place.
Mm.
They're saying it's their responsibility to make sure voters are making decisions based on facts, not fabrications.
I can see how that argument would resonate with a lot of people, especially after all the concerns about election interference and fake news we've seen in recent years. It feels like we're in this constant information war, and it's hard to know what to believe anymore.
You've hit the nail on the head. And to be fair to California, they're not the only ones trying to figure this out.
Right.
Governments around the world are grappling with, like, how do you tackle misinformation without stepping on free speech?
Right.
It's like a global headache with no easy solutions.
So we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. On one side, we have the potential for deepfakes and misinformation to like undermine democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other, we have concerns about censorship and governments having too much control over what we see and hear online.
Yeah.
It's a tough balancing act.
It really is. And that's what makes this case so significant.
Yeah.
It forces us to confront these fundamental questions about the limits of free speech in the digital age.
Right.
And the role of government in, you know, policing online content.
Okay, so let's try to like unpack the potential consequences here. What happens if California wins this thing? Could this impact platforms beyond just Rumble?
Oh, it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah.
If California prevails, it could give other states the green light to pass similar laws.
Oh, wow.
Imagine like a patchwork of regulations.
Oh, gosh.
Across the country, each with its own definition of what's considered deceptive. That could create a much more restrictive online environment where platforms are constantly like walking on eggshells, afraid of getting sued.
And that could lead to like even more censorship, right?
Yeah.
Platforms might start taking down anything even remotely controversial just to be on the safe side.
Exactly. It could have a chilling effect on free speech, making people think twice before posting anything that might be perceived as like edgy or critical, even if it's completely legitimate.
And what about the impact on the platforms themselves? Wouldn't they have to spend a fortune on content moderation just to like keep up with all these laws?
Absolutely. Imagine the resources it would take to monitor and evaluate every single post and video.
Right.
For potential deceptiveness.
It'd be crazy.
It could be a logistical nightmare, especially for smaller platforms with limited budgets.
So a win for California could potentially reshape the entire online landscape, making it less open and diverse. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? They're trying to protect democracy, but their solution could actually end up, like, stifling the free exchange of ideas that democracy depends on.
It's a valid concern. But let's flip the script for a minute.
Okay.
What if Rumble wins?
Right.
What could that mean for the future of online speech?
Well, I imagine it would be a huge victory for free speech advocates.
Mm.
And a major setback for those who want, like, stricter content moderation. It would send a signal that courts are hesitant to let governments dictate what we can and can't say online.
Precisely. A Rumble victory could embolden other platforms to, like, push back against calls for more censorship. They might be more willing to take a hands-off approach.
Right.
Letting users decide for themselves what they want to see and believe.
Which sounds great in theory. But doesn't it also, like, risk turning the internet into an even bigger cesspool of misinformation and hate speech?
That's the other side of the coin.
Right.
And it's a legitimate concern.
Yeah.
If platforms have no incentive to moderate content,
right,
it could lead to a proliferation of harmful content, making it even harder to separate fact from fiction.
So no matter who wins, there are potential downsides. It feels like we're damned if we do and damned if we don't.
Yeah, it highlights the complexity of this issue.
Right.
There are no easy answers.
Right.
And any solution will likely come with trade-offs. This case isn't just about Rumble or California. It's about finding that delicate balance between protecting free speech and preventing the internet from becoming a weapon of mass manipulation.
And it's also worth remembering that this isn't happening in a vacuum. We're in a time of, like, intense political polarization, growing distrust of institutions, and a lot of anxiety about the future of democracy.
Right.
All of that just adds fuel to the fire.
You're absolutely right. This case is a reflection of those, like, deeper societal anxieties.
Mm-hmm.
It's about more than just laws and regulations. It's about who we are as a society.
Yeah.
And what kind of future we want to build.
Okay, so we've explored, like, the potential implications of both a California win and a Rumble win. It seems like there's a lot at stake here. But before we jump to conclusions, let's remember that this case is still unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the key things that could, like, sway the outcome?
Well, for starters, the judge's interpretation of the First Amendment is going to be crucial.
Right.
How broadly or narrowly they define free speech will have a huge impact on their ruling.
And the wording of those California laws will be scrutinized too, right? Like, if the court finds the language too vague or overly broad, it could weaken California's case.
Absolutely. The vagueness argument is one of Rumble's strongest points.
Mm-hmm.
If the laws aren't, like, crystal clear about what constitutes deceptive content,
right,
it raises serious concerns about arbitrary enforcement and the potential for censorship.
Right, and that precedent could play a big role here. But even with that, it's still too early to say who's going to come out on top. We'll have to see how the legal arguments unfold and what evidence each side presents.
Exactly. This case is far from over, and it's likely to be a long and complex legal battle.
So we've talked about, like, the arguments, the potential outcomes, and the key factors that could, you know, influence the verdict. But let's zoom out for a second and look at the bigger picture. What does this case tell us about the state of free speech in the digital age? Where do we go from here?
Well, this case really highlights, like, a fundamental tension we're all, like, navigating these days online.
Right.
On the one hand, you know, we have this amazing ability to connect, right, and share information instantly.
Mm.
It's like a global town square where everyone has a voice.
Right. But that same town square can also become, like, a breeding ground for misinformation and hate speech and all sorts of toxic stuff.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's the dilemma.
Right.
How do we protect the benefits of free expression online without letting, like, the bad stuff run wild? How do we make sure the internet remains a space for, like, open and honest dialogue without it turning into a digital Wild West?
Yeah. It feels like walking a tightrope. Like, if we give platforms too much power to censor content, we risk, you know, stifling dissenting voices and creating echo chambers where people only hear what they want to hear.
Right.
But if we do nothing, you know, the internet could become so polluted with misinformation that it becomes impossible to know what's true anymore.
It's a challenge that goes beyond any one platform or government.
Yeah.
The outcome of this case could set a precedent that impacts how we think about online speech globally.
So this isn't just a legal battle happening in a courtroom. It's a debate that's happening in living rooms and online forums all over the world.
Absolutely. And it's a debate that, like, all of us have a stake in.
Right.
Even if we don't use Rumble or live in California.
Right. Because at the end of the day, it's about your right to express yourself freely online, to access diverse viewpoints, and to participate in a democracy that isn't manipulated by, you know, deep fakes and misinformation.
Right. It's about, like, deciding what kind of digital world we want to live in.
Yeah.
Do we want a world where governments have the power to control what we see and say online?
Right.
Or do we believe the internet should, like, remain a space for open and robust debate, even if that means encountering ideas that challenge our own?
Right. Those are some pretty big questions to wrestle with. What can we, like, as individuals do to make sure our voices are heard and that we're not being, like, manipulated by all this digital trickery?
Well, I think the first step is awareness.
Okay.
Educate yourself about, like, the technology behind deep fakes and other forms of misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Understand how algorithms can shape what you see online and how your data can be used to, like, target you with personalized propaganda.
So we need to become, like, more digitally savvy,
yeah,
more critical of the information we consume online.
Exactly. Don't just, like, blindly accept what you see on your social media feed. Question your sources, look for evidence, and, you know, be willing to challenge your own biases.
Yeah.
Remember, critical thinking is our best defense against manipulation.
It's like that old saying, trust but verify. Except now, in the digital age, it's more like verify, then maybe trust, but still be a little skeptical.
That's a great way to put it. And, you know, don't be afraid to speak up.
Yeah.
Engage in respectful dialogue with people who hold different views. Challenge misinformation when you see it, but do so constructively and with evidence. Support organizations that are fighting for digital rights and a more open and transparent internet.
So it's not just about being, like, a passive consumer of information. It's about being an active participant in shaping the online world we want to live in.
Precisely. The future of the internet is not predetermined. It's being shaped right now by the choices we make, the conversations we have, and the actions we take.
Well, this has been a real eye-opener. I think we've all learned a lot about the challenges and opportunities of, you know, free speech in the digital age.
It's been a fascinating discussion.
Yeah.
And remember, this case is far from over.
Uh-huh.
We'll continue to follow it closely and keep you updated on any, you know, major developments.
Oh. But for now, we want to leave you with a question to ponder. As technology continues to blur the lines between, like, reality and fabrication, how do we protect free speech without letting the internet become a weapon of mass manipulation?
It's a tough question with no easy answers, but it's one that, you know, all of us need to be thinking about. The future of our digital world depends on it.
Right.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.